The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
I heard of a little girl that became very restless as the pastor preached his sermon, and the sermon seemed like it was dragging on and on and on. And I know none of you have ever felt that, but just imagine that you may have felt that at one time in your life. And finally, she leaned over to her mother. She said, "Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" And so I want you to know we're going to try to preach a little bit of a briefer message tonight, but we'll have a chance to give to the Lord, and then in a few moments we'll rejoice in the Lord for what He does. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." And that's the theme of the book of Philippians, rejoicing. And it is no mistake that a rejoicing church was a giving church. And it is no mistake in your life and in my life that when we are generous with the Lord, there's joy in generosity. And so he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath," notice the next few words, please. What does it say? "Flourished again." Let's say that. "Hath what?"
"Flourished."
"Hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." I want you to see those words, "flourished again." There is no question tonight that God's grace has been abundant at Lancaster Baptist Church. There is no question that we have seen seasons of renewed faith, and there is no question that God has done exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I remember someone asking me when I first came to Lancaster back in 1986, they said, "What is your vision for Lancaster Baptist Church?" People like to ask that question. What is your vision? And someone asked me that question as we were just getting started. And I remember telling Terry once, I said, "Could you imagine one day if we would be a church of 100? And I don't mean to discourage you. That was my vision in 1986. Maybe to be a church of 100. And I think you could testify with me that we've seen God do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And here we see, though, that this church at Philippi that had initially been so supportive of the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us of them in verse number 10 that their care had flourished again. And I believe that even as the hinds feet are found in the book of Psalms, and as we find that we're to ask the Lord, "Lord, make my feet like hinds feet," where the deer's hind quarters would cause them to leap ahead again, that we're here tonight to say, "Lord, help us not to rest on our laurels, but help us to flourish again like the church at Philippi. Help us to be renewed in our faith again for this very moment, that we would go forward with a renewed faith. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." And that's what we're asking God to do this year. We're saying, "Lord, renew us again. Lord, revive us again. Lord, we don't want to live on what you did in the 80s or the 90s. We want to see you do something great here tonight." And so the theme "renew" speaks to that issue that we need God's grace now, and we need God's grace in this generation and in this moment of our lives. And so here we find a church that was renewed to give. And I really believe it's an exciting thing when you have a record attendance or when you build a building. But when you have a pastor and many people, as we are gathered here tonight, who are here not for just a season, not for just a few years, but now nearing our third decade of ministry, and not in our first or second multi-million dollar building, but maybe our 10th or 12th building, I think you would agree with me that we need that renewing of the Holy Spirit if we're going to see God continue to work in our lives. The flourishing again of God's grace, if we're going to see this continue along. Because how many of you would agree with me that if it was just up to me or just up to you, just in our flesh, just in our best effort, we probably would have stopped back there with the North Building. How many of you agree with me? But what we need is the renewing of the Holy Spirit in order that we might continue to reach out. I like the song that says, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day." You see, that's where we want to go tonight. By faith, Lord, renew us in this hour of ministry. Well, I want you to notice how a renewed church was committed to the work of the Lord and how they were committed to the work of evangelism, as the Apostle Paul writes. Notice, first of all, the communication of their giving. The communication. What does it say when we give? What does it say? Now, there are those who would consider the giving of Lancaster Baptist Church, and they might say, well, I'll tell you what it says. It says they had to do it. It says they had a gun to their head if they didn't. It says they're nutty. It says that they don't understand. And there are many who think that giving communicates something of that nature. But what does it really communicate? Look at verse 15. It says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, notice this phrase, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. When Paul began his missionary journey, he said there was not an abundance of churches that caught the vision. In fact, no church caught the vision except your church. By the way, how many of you would agree with me that the Philippian church is in heaven tonight, glad they caught that vision? I mean, they caught it. And he said, no other church seemed to catch it, but you caught it. And the communication of giving, first of all, tells me that we communicate personally when we give. That every member of the church at Philippi came together, and that as a body they gave, but first individually they gave and they offered willingly. Exodus 35 and 22 tells us, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. What I love about that tabernacle offering was the fact that every man and every woman offered willingly, and they communicated personally, and they said, we don't want this to simply be out of the tax treasury of the United States of America. We don't want this to simply be out of the overabundance of a denominational headquarters overflow fund. We want this to be personal from us. We want to personally communicate to our God our heart for Him. And so tonight, as we give, we're communicating personally, individually to the Lord. Lord, we love you, and we love seeing souls saved, and we want to see more of that until you come again. We communicate personally. But then I see, secondly tonight, that we communicate corporately. And as a church tonight, we are going to make a statement tonight. The Bible says in verse 16 these words, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Once and again, the church made a statement. Tonight, we have a few of our missionaries with us. Brother Pittman is here, our missionary to Ireland. And I believe that every time Brother Pittman receives his statement and sees that Lancaster Baptist Church has sent a check, that we are communicating something to him. We're communicating to him just in that offering that is sent on a monthly basis. Brother, we are with you. We are standing with you. Yes, the finances, but we're saying as a church, we're so thankful that you are there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And so communication of giving. Communication is this. We're communicating personally. Lord, I love you. We're communicating corporately. Lord, we love you. And we love what you do in saving souls. We're communicating on a personal level tonight. We're communicating on a corporate level. Together, all of us are bringing praise to God tonight. May I say that thirdly, we are communicating eternally tonight. Tonight, we're communicating eternally and with the eternal. Now notice what it says in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now here we see the principle of eternal communication, eternal fruit. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to see some of that fruit in the sense of on this earth, seeing a building built or a soul saved or a missionary sent. But I want you to dig into this verse with me, verse 17, and notice again. He said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The word desire is in the present tense, and it means to wish for or to long for. Paul said, what I'm longing for is not a gift. It's not a personal gift that I long for. What I long for is some fruit to your account, to your eternal bank account, that there would be fruit hanging there that came because you got involved individually in supporting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word abound. He says, I want this to be a super abundance of fruit that is credited to your account. One of the joys of giving financially to the local church is this eternal benefit of fruit that abounds to our account. And I believe that through our missions program, over 200 missionaries, I believe that through the young people that will pass the halls of these buildings, both from Lancaster Baptist Church and Lancaster Baptist School and West Coast Baptist College, that they're going to go out and they're going to lead people to Jesus Christ in all the corners of this earth, people that we will never meet until this side of heaven. But I believe there will be people in heaven who will come up to the members of this church and they will say, thank you for giving to the Lord, that my missionary would come, that that bus route would run, that I would have a place to play basketball, but also to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you for giving to the Lord. My friend, when we give to the Lord, Paul said, it's not to me. It's not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Already this year, God has been working and souls have been saved. And I thank the Lord that thus far this year, in the first 10 weeks of this church year, we've seen over 300 people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You say, well, I haven't met them all. No, you haven't. And that's the point of this message tonight. It's fruit that abounds to your account. You have not met them all, but I want you to know that individually, one single person at a time, there have been 300 people hear the gospel preached, and 300 times somebody has opened the Word of God with them, and 300 times the Spirit of God spoke into their heart, and there was a response of faith, and 300 times somebody on this campus has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I say to you tonight, that is fruit that abounds to your account. I'm thankful tonight that well over 100 of those have already, in the first 10 weeks of this year, been baptized, and several more today identifying publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, He's real to me. And I'm not ashamed to get in the water in front of 1,000 or 2,000 people and identify publicly in my belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying tonight, there are 130 people that are enrolled right now in discipleship on Wednesday night, sitting over here in the other building, opening the Word of God and learning assurance of faith and learning the inerrancy of the Scripture and learning the local church and learning how to pray and getting roots and getting grounded in their faith right now, not last year, not last decade, right now. That's fruit that abounds to the account of the giver at Lancaster Baptist Church. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves, hear it, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I got to tell you something. One day these old buildings are going to fall down. One day those buses out there are going to rust, their last few pieces of rust, and they're going to fall down. And this old earth is going to be burned up, if I understand 1 Peter, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth to live on for all of eternity. I got to tell you something. It's not about the now and now. It's not about this earth. It's really not even about buildings. It's about souls that will last forever. They will not rust. They will not corrupt. They will last forever and ever according to the Word of God. Fruit that abounds to our account. We communicate personally when we give. And we communicate corporately when we give. And we communicate eternally when we give. We're communicating tonight with God. Communication. But notice, secondly, the commendation for giving. We're communicating, but in the Scriptures, for those who give, there is a commendation that is found in verse 18. Notice it, please. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, because they gave, there were some things that happened. And I want you to see this tonight. I want us to connect the dots between giving and the result or the commendation for giving. The first thing we notice is that the work of God was accomplished. You see, Paul is praising them because when Epaphroditus brought their love offering to them, when the pastor of the Philippian church made his way to Rome, where Paul was in prison writing this epistle, the Bible tells us that he gave to Paul some things that were of necessity. Paul says, in fact, I abound, I am full, I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And so because of their giving, the apostles' ministry was able to continue. I believe with all of my heart, as we give tonight, We continue to enable parking to expand, auditoriums to expand, children's ministries to expand, Spanish ministry to expand, all of the college ministry, all of these things are expanding. Why was there a commendation for their giving? Because the work kept going, because they had a part. But notice, secondly, not only was the work accomplished, but I think even more importantly, worship was offered. There was worship that was offered to God. Now look at the last part of verse 18. The things which were sent from you, he says, were an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Notice this last phrase, well-pleasing to God. Would you say that with me? Well-pleasing
to God.
Whoa. We can do something that is well-pleasing to God? You see, it is referred to, their offering, as an odor of a sweet smell. And our minds immediately go to the Levitical priesthood. We are reminded of this word sweet as a soothing savor, as a fragrance or an aroma, a sweet savor, as is mentioned in Exodus 29 in verse 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, 16, the word communicate is speaking of giving. And it says, but to do good and to communicate or to give, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so we see that when we give to the Lord, it is as a sacrifice, it is an act of worship, and it is something that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, it is because the source was acceptable from which it was offered. And someone says, well, how can anything I offer to God be acceptable? I am a sinner. You are exactly right. How can we offer anything to God that is acceptable? 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Do you know why you can offer something to God that is acceptable? It is because you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then the Bible says of you in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and royal priesthood to offer up, listen, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. My friends, one of the distinctives of the Baptist is the doctrine we refer to as the priesthood of the believers. That is to say, I don't need to go crawling in to a confessional booth and say to the priest, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Number one, he is not the Father. There is one Father in heaven tonight. Number two, we do not crawl into a confessional booth to confess our sin to men, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to the high priest, and we can confess our sin tonight. And as believer priests, when I come to the Lord in prayer, I'm offering him an offering that is well-pleasing unto him. When I come to the Lord and give my offering tonight, as a believer priest, I'm offering something tonight that is well-pleasing to him. I'm offering up spiritual sacrifices. I know how cynical the world can be. I know how cynical backslidden Christians can be, but to me, tonight, when my wife and I put our cash and our commitment offerings in, we're doing it as believer priests unto our God out of a heart of love, and we believe it is well pleasing unto our God tonight. Because God has given us the opportunity to see his work accomplished and to see tonight worship offered. And so we see it is an acceptable offering. If you are saved, it is acceptable as an offering to God, and it is a sacrifice well pleasing to God. C.T. Studd, the great missionary to Africa, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make to him. And so we see the communication of giving is personal, and it's corporate, and it's eternal. And the commendation of giving says, it's a good thing you're doing because you're helping the work of God to be accomplished, and you're offering worship unto God, which is a sweet-smelling savor and a sweet sacrifice to God when you give to God. It is eternally pleasing as a gift offered from a saint and from a priest unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see not only the communication of giving and not only the commendation to the giver, but notice finally tonight, the confidence for the giver. The confidence. Now look at verse 19. But my God, I like that right there. But my God, what's the next word say? Might. But my God shall supply how many of your needs?
All
your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now notice the confidence God gives. I know how this works. I've sat down with my wife several times, and we've talked about what we'd like to do by the grace of God this year. And we sat down one more time about 4:30 this afternoon and went over some things, and we raised our commitment a little bit, and I said, but we won't fill out the card. We want to listen to the preacher preach and see how he does. But I know how some of you, there's this longing to be involved, and there's this battle that can sometimes take place. Because the devil doesn't want you to be confident in this. He wants you to be questioning about this. And that's why there's a confidence verse given to this giving church. And the confidence is found in this simple phrase, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now think about the supply of God. Think about the fact that he will supply all of your need. Matthew 7 and verse 11 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Moms and dads, we love our children, don't we? We love them when they're good. We love them when they're bad. We love them when we want to hug them. And when we want to whop them upside the head, we still love them. And we want to give to them. We want to try to meet their needs. But if we love our kids like that, how much more does God love you tonight? Amen. How much more does your God want to meet your need tonight? We've seen God time and time again meet the needs of Lancaster Baptist Church. I remember in 1988 as we were praying, God, we need some land. We don't know where. God, help us to have some land. And we had that giving by faith banquet, and God allowed us to buy 20 acres, and we just couldn't hardly believe it. Oh, it was filled with barbed wire and dust and all kinds of dirt and various different artifacts out here. It was just a dirt field, but we were so excited. We came out and had picnics out here, and we had hamburger filled with dirt. It was wonderful. God had given us 20 acres. And then another 20 acres came next door, and some of us thought, you know, we may never really need it, but just in case we do need it, let's have an offering and try to buy that 20 acres and see if we might be able to use it somehow. And so we went ahead, and by faith, a couple of years later, we bought 20 more acres of land. And by the way, I want you to know, every last bit of that 20 acres has been paved and developed and built on since we bought it. In between offerings like this, the corner piece down there came available. It was 10 acres, and we began to pray. And I remember praying about it and just asking God if he would provide, just sharing it with some men in some prayer meetings and just kind of talking about it. And I remember one of the men of the church said, how much is it? I told him. He came in the next day and wrote a check. He said, I think God would have us to own from corner to corner. Pastor, go buy that 10 acres down there. A few years later, another 10 acres came available. A few years later, another 5 acres came available. Church family heard about it. They said, I don't know if we need it or not. I said, I don't know if we need it or not either. They bought it. We put a solar plant on it a few years ago. It's helping out with our electric bills. It just kind of gone like that. And tonight, from a little church that had no land, a church that was on a half an acre downtown with 34 parking spots, God has given us 105 acres tonight that we intend to use every single bit of it to establish an old-fashioned Bible preaching, soul-winning station to the glory of God. We've seen God provide land for Lancaster Baptist Church. We've seen God provide buildings. And I've got to tell you tonight, I wasn't the smartest when this whole thing started out. I'm still kind of learning as we go, learning on the job training. Amen. But I remember that first building program, we got a builder, and he said, I can build it, but he said, you got to get financing. We didn't have a lot of years with records, and we didn't know how to work with the banks. We finally found a bank, and actually we found the bank first, and the bank said, we'll loan to you if you use this contractor. I said, I don't, that's great, that's fine, just give us the money, man. We're ready to build the building. We raised some money, they loaned some money. The problem was the builder, about, 3 or 6 months into it, about when Brother Hartzell joined the church, the builder went bankrupt. And the builder, because he went bankrupt, he couldn't pay his foreman. And his foreman got mad, and he took the approved set of plans, and he went to another state. Now I had no builder, no bank, no plans, no foreman, and then it started to rain. Now, I would love to have the rain again, to be honest with you. But not that bank, not that builder. I'll tell you that right now. I didn't know what to do. I could spend all night, I promise I won't, telling you the catastrophe of the first few building programs. Just things that happened, and God was just testing our mettle a bit and teaching me some things. And I remember having to call the police to get our plans back. I remember being just completely stopped in the middle of that building program. And I told a few people around town, they said, how's the project? I said, well, not too good. No one's swinging hammers, no one's putting plumbing in, nothing's really going on. We kind of hit a side swipe here. And during that time, we'd take some offerings. Some of the men remember we had some offerings in that old north building, and one night we raised about $60,000. We didn't have a bank loan at that time, but I said we ought to try to get a roof on it or something, and we raised about $60,000. I remember that night. I think Brother Rushing preached for us over there that night. And I remember that night just standing up. I don't know how old I was, about 16 maybe, and I stood up and I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're kind of out of money on this thing here right now, and if you want to help, and Brother Rushing said, stand with your pastor, and we raised up some money. But I remember long in there, a man came over here to the church one day, and back at that time, I was literally kind of the foreman, and Brother Hartzell would come in when he could, and we'd meet at Marie Callender's and write stuff on a napkin and try to figure out who to pay next. And a man came up to me, and I was trying to keep the plumber and the framer from having a fist fight. If any of you know anything about construction, that's what they do. They just fight all the time. They argue about things. They come in late. They leave early. They're worthless. And I felt like a referee, and I'm saying, all right, hey, stop it. He's not supposed to put that nail in that right now. I got to get this pipe in here first. All right, just wait. And I'd write down questions, and I'd call Brother Hartzell, what do I do with this guy? And I was in the middle of that. And I remember a man came up, and he said, I'd like to talk to the pastor. Is pastor here? I said, that would be me. I had on this white hat. It said pastor on it, hard hat. Safety first. He said, I hear you lost your loan. I said, yeah, we lost our loan, we lost our contractor, and while it stopped raining here for a few days, we're just trying to get a few things done. He said, let me try to help you keep the thing going. He said, I can't give you the money, wish I could, but he said, how much do you need to keep the thing going for a while? I said, well, we're talking to some other banking institutions, I don't know. I said, we could use as much as you got. He said, well, how about $200,000? Would that help you go for a few weeks? I said, that'll help us go. He wrote the check, $200,000. I don't know. I think when we finally got the takeout loan, the final loan, we went back and paid him back months later. No interest was charged. God was just simply saying, I'm going to supply all your need. You just keep having the faith. That dear man, his dear widow, attends this church every single week. After he passed away, she said, you know, I tell you, she said, I just love this church. She said, I wanted to come all the time. She said, I would have just given that if I could. But she said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to finish all the days of my life. She's up in her 80s. She said, I'm going to be a faithful member of this church till Jesus comes again. Why? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. God gave us land. God's given us some buildings. God's given us power. God's given us soul-winning power. And God's given us a wisdom from His Spirit. And God's given us protection. And I was thinking Tuesday night, as Terry and I were going out soul-winning, a lot of times I'll say, hey, Brother Firstall, can you give me a call? And he sends me to the most strange neighborhoods sometimes. A lot of times I'll look at the address and I'll go, what is this, a joke? And here my wife and I got out of the car. And I mean to tell you what, I was thinking, where's the security force when you need them? We were walking up to the door there, and we had a lot of strange folks looking at us. Of course, I just kind of howdy. And you know what I thought about as I walked up to those doors on Tuesday night as the sun was setting, just inviting people to Easter services, I thought, you know, thank God for 28 years, He's always given us protection as we go out soul winning. God's provided land, and God's provided buildings, and God's provided power, and God's provided protection, and God's provided grace. And I just want to say, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has, and he will, the supply of God. But notice also, as we close tonight, the storehouse of God. Notice what it says. But my God shall supply all your need, what does it say? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can't even fathom the insurmountable wealth of our God. He said, I'm going to supply for you. I'm going to take care of you. And by the way, my supply will never run out. One of the Old Testament names for God is El Shaddai. It means the all-sufficient one. It means the one that has more than we could ever comprehend. The one who will meet every single need that we have. Charles Spurgeon said, I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. And I'm thankful tonight I have a great need for Christ. And I'm thankful tonight I have a great Christ for my need. My God shall supply all of my need and all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm simply saying tonight, may God renew us tonight. And may we communicate personally. May we communicate corporately. May we communicate eternally that fruit will abound to our account. May we be commended tonight for the simple fact that ministry kept on going and that we kept on worshiping when the economy was up, when the economy was down, when the Republicans were in, when the Democrats were in, and when all the rest of them were out. Listen, my friend, my God has supplied my need in every situation throughout all of these ages, and there's no reason to doubt him tonight. Amen. Tonight we need to be renewed in our faith and say, Lord, we've come this far by faith, trusting in you. We're going to keep on trusting you. You can communicate with God tonight. You can be commended by the word of God tonight as you worship him. And you can have confidence tonight in the Lord that he will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's say that verse together. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Let us pray.